We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Can he get it away in time on the step back? He does! He hits! He hits! And the Mavericks have won the game! Luka Doncic with a 30-footer to win it at the horn!
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. This is the latest installment of Mavs Step Back Live here on Spotify Live. We got a lot to talk about today. The Mavs, they closed out the Utah Jazz in Game 6. It was one of those that had you, you know, just holding on to your butts until the until the very end of the game. It was an ugly game. The Mavs, they were down by 12 at halftime. It seemed like they just I don't want to say that they were uninterested. I think it was, you know, it was more just like low energy, and you got the altitude in Utah that you had to factor into it over the course of the series. There's a lot of stuff you can talk about there, but they look kind of tired. But they came through in the second half. Luka had a fantastic third quarter, and him and Jalen Brunson combined, they both scored 24 points apiece. So they scored 48 of the Mavs' 98 points last night. So nearly half of the points came from just those two. Brunson capped off one of the best Mavs playoff series ever statistically. He was amazing. So that was a really good thing to see in that first round series, him taking the next step, especially right before, you know, he's going to be a unrestricted free agent, made himself a little bit of extra money with his performance against the Jazz. And, you know, I can't say enough how happy I am that the Mavs didn't ruin my weekend by making, you know, by having a game 7 on Saturday. I was telling everybody I talked to, like, I really just don't need this to happen and ruin my weekend. We get a stress-free weekend. We get to watch, you know, the Grizzlies and Timberwolves tonight. If the Timberwolves win, there will be a game 7 on Sunday. And then I believe the only other game this weekend is the Celtics and Bucks game 1 of their first round series that's on noon on Sunday. And then the Mavs, they move on to round 2 and face the Phoenix Suns on Monday night. First two games will be in Phoenix. And it's a team that they've struggled against in the past. But, you know, this Mavs team right now is a different team than, you know, regular season and in the postseason. Even before all that, you know, they still played the Phoenix Suns extremely close. All three games were decided by single digits. The Mavs had leads in all those games. Two of them they had leads late, and they just weren't able to close out, you know, against Chris Paul and the Suns. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not ready to, you know, predict that the Mavs are going to win the series, but, you know, I could very easily see this series going 6 or 7 games, especially if Brunson continues to play the way he did in this first round against the Utah Jazz. You know, Luka's going to do his thing. He's got a couple extra days to rest now, and, you know, they're not going to be playing in Utah. So I think they have a lot of things working for them. You know, Devin Booker, even though he's back, he's still, you know, having to deal with that hamstring injury a little bit, and him going up against, you know, the Mavs perimeter defenders, most namely Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock, you know, they're not going to make it easy on him. So he's going to have to work for everything. CP3, he's going to turn 37 this upcoming week, and he had to play nearly 40 minutes a game for six games in that first-round series against the Pelicans. So that's something to keep an eye on. You know, will he get tired at some point, or will he just keep, you know, defying Father Time and putting up these insane numbers? He had 33 points, perfect from the field. I forgot, I think it was 14 of 14 from the field in that closeout game against the Pelicans in game six. So, okay, so I just laid out a lot there. I've got my guy, Grant Afseth, my colleague at DallasBasketball.com. He's with me. You can find both of us on Twitter at – I'm at Dalton_Trigg. Grant's at Grant Afseth on Twitter. But, Grant, how you doing today? First, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of different things. We'll start off with the Jazz series. I mean, overall, what are your final closing thoughts on what we witnessed as the Mavs beat the Jazz in six games?
Yeah, I think the main thing is that, just like you said, I'm very glad that we don't have to deal with the Game 7. It's a lot better to have a couple days to look forward to the next series for sure. I think, you know, just looking back at the Game 7, I think it was interesting to see Spencer Dinwiddie kind of have a bounce-back performance with 19 points, make four threes. That was something that stuck out. I think playing Josh Green 2 minutes was another thing, kind of shortening the rotation in a sense. Same with Davis Bertans. You know, just seeing Jalen Brunson continue to live up to big moments with 24 points. I think that was, you know, very interesting development as well. I think, you know, just the Suns as a matchup will be interesting to think about as well, because DeAndre Ayton is a lot more capable with the basketball in his hands than Rudy Gobert. So, you know, just looking forward to seeing a different team that offers different style and how they match up for sure.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Spencer Dinwiddie thing, I was so happy to see him finally have a good shooting game. Like he did some good things throughout the series, and he hit some big shots, you know, in that game where I think it was game three, you know, he hit a really clutch shot down the stretch in Utah that helped the Mavs. It put them up 10 late, and they went on to win that game and go up 2-1 before Luka even stepped foot on the court. So that was huge. He had some big moments, but his shoot and hit 4 of 7 from three. That was huge. I mean, it was very overdue. Like I know he struggled a lot in Washington, and I know his efficiency was, you know, pretty bad during that stretch. And we figured he'd come down from the excellent shooting that he showed towards the end of the regular season with the Mavs after the trade. But you know, we figured it'd come down, but we didn't figure it would be that bad in the playoffs. So for him to finally have a good shooting game, maybe it will, you know, maybe it'll carry over into the Phoenix series, and we'll see him kind of get back to a little bit closer to what we saw at the end of the regular season. And I think there's something to be said for, you know, how different this Mavs team is now compared to when they played the Suns earlier in the year, because two times they played them, you know, it was Luka was out with an ankle injury. They still had KP, so the Suns, they would, you know, they would abuse that matchup. They'd get the switch, and CP3 would just have a field day with KP there. And then the last matchup against the Suns was shortly after the trade, I believe, or I can't. Well, I have to look and see. It was before they got established, I'll say that. And they lost. They ended up losing by 8, even though they had a lead late in the fourth. They just crumbled down the stretch. So with the way the Mavs have played in the second half of the season, they've gotten big win after big win. And then they went into Utah, had a 2-1 lead without Luka, and then finished things off when Luka came back. I don't know. I'm being cautiously optimistic. I'm not going to go out here and say the Mavs are going to win the series, but I'm cautiously optimistic. And, you know, I think they'll be able to give the Suns everything they can handle in the second round series. But man, what a burden lifted off of this team's shoulders. Like, I know this is only his fourth season, you know, so to him it's not like he has a 11-year playoff series win drought, but you know, stuff like that hovers over the franchise, even if all the players have been a part of it for that long. You know, that stuff weighs on you. So for them to finally get over that hump and, you know, to finally move on and say, okay, we won in the first round, now let's go out there, we're going to play with no pressure now. You know, they're playing against the best team in the NBA. They're the underdogs for sure in this series. I highly doubt anybody's going to pick the Mavs in the national media, except maybe Nick Wright. They have that working for them in this series. They'll be the underdogs. No pressure. Just go out there and see what happens. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I love that it's, you know, Phoenix, Dallas, just like the old days. And, you know, old days, I'm talking mid-2000s, which I know that's not really old days for a lot of people, but I'm very happy to have that little bit of nostalgia working for us. And I think Luka and Jalen Brunson versus CP3 and Booker and those guys, I think it's just going to end up being a very fun series. So, all right, Jay Pry, I'm going to bring you up here. And guys, if y'all want to talk again, just send a speaker request, put it on mute until we get you up here. And, you know, we'll just roll through these as many as I can get in the next, you know, 25, 30 minutes. So, Jay Pry, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing pretty good. How are you, Dalton?
Man, I'm doing really good. Like I said, I'm so relieved. I desperately did not want that series to go to seven games, mainly because I selfishly wanted to enjoy my weekend.
Yeah, I did that.
And not have to worry about it. So I'm just thrilled that they closed it out in six last night.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it was it was very stressful there at the end. And you know, I saw some folks on Mavs Twitter who were upset with the defense at the end, and I mean, I was too. I definitely think that we shouldn't have had either Luka or Dinwiddie out there. I think that we should have had our best five defenders, whoever that be, in Jason Kidd's eyes, out there. But you know, it worked out, and you know, there were so many ghost fouls down the stretch that Donovan Mitchell was getting. And even that last play, Clarkson pushed Bullock into Dinwiddie for that closeout. It was just the basketball gods saying, look, you guys have been screwed over enough. So I'm pretty satisfied with the win. I'm excited to get to play Phoenix. And I agree with you. I don't think that there's any pressure. The discussions of Luka can't get past the first round are no longer a thing, as well as nobody really expects us to win this one. I know the ESPN guys are already saying that we're going to lose in five or six. So, you know, I think that we go in there, we play some screw it basketball, you know, just what was it that Kirk called it yesterday? Some YOLO basketball, and get some wins and maybe turn the tides, you know, if we can get hot.
Well, and I mean, we know what this team is capable of doing, you know, against anybody. We've seen they've beaten pretty much every single team except for the Suns. Yet, like I said, it's, you know, it's a different team now. So I think they can beat this Suns team. And the fact that, the Suns, everybody thought they might end up, you know, sweeping, or at least gentlemen sweeping the Pelicans. And the Pelicans came out there and they played them hard. I mean, they gave them a tough fight for six games. And you know, with Booker,
there's a lot of weaknesses too.
Yeah, you know, they exposed some things that the Mavs can take advantage of in this second round series. And you know with Booker out, it put more of a strain on CP3, and he was still good, you know, especially in the closeout game, but he was good with even with Booker out. But you know, that put an extra strain on him. He's not getting any younger, so
right.
You know, I'm not going to jinx it and CP3 come out and average 40 points a game in this next series and just not get tired at all. But, you know, I think that they're more equipped now to beat the Suns than they were when they played them the three times earlier this season. And look, yeah. I mean, if they can just go into Phoenix, I mean, you know, it's going to be a tough games either way, but if they can just go into Phoenix and get one game, mm-hmm. you know, you're not favored to win the series. You're not, you're not going to be favored to win either of these first two games on the road. But if you can go and play them tough and get just one game on the road and come back to Dallas, you know, tied 1-1, anything can happen. So
right. And there, I will say, you know, don't get me wrong, nothing against Phoenix fans, but their crowd is not what Utah's crowd is. I mean, there were points in the game, last game, and even in that that game four that was kind of stolen from us, that, man, Utah's crowd is hostile. Like, and it makes sense because it's the only, like, pro sport that they have in that area. But, you know, I don't think that the atmosphere will be quite as hostile in a Phoenix as it was in, like, a Utah, you know. So I think that there is an opportunity for us to, you know, kind of steal one of those games, one of those early on games. And, yeah, if we go back to Dallas 1-1 and, you know, if we're able to capitalize, you know, we might blink and then it's 3-1. And then, but I'm getting too ahead of myself. I'm sorry.
Well, you use the word hostile, and I think that's, you know, I think that's accurate. I was thinking of another word that, you know, might make you, I don't want to say all Utah fans are like this, but, you know, there's been some reports of, you know, some racist stuff that goes on there too.
Yeah. I was trying not to go that route, but yeah.
Look, like I said, that might make some Utah fans mad, because I obviously, you know, everybody's not like that. That's Utah.
Right.
You know, there's some great Jazz fans, but you know, you've seen some reports, and you know, you see how Luka reacted to the fans after they closed it out last night. He was pissed off, and you know, telling them bye bye and waving at them. I mean, there's some stuff that gets said there that really irks people. So
yeah, some things that shouldn't be repeated in the Mormon church, for sure.
Right. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that. But you know, we'll just call it hostile, like you said.
Yeah. There we go.
But
all right, well, I appreciate your time, Dalton.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining me.
Of course.
All right. I see Grant is back in the room here. Let's try to add him back and see if that audio is fixed. Uh-oh. Failed to send invite. Okay, well, does anybody else have any questions or want to talk about either the Jazz series and how the Mavs closed it out, or previewing the Mavs-Suns thing? Because honestly, my plan was to go back and forth with Grant for most of this, and we're having some audio issues there. Okay, I do have one speaker request here. Okay, I'm just going to – Big Shot Pod, what's your name?
Hey, what's up, Dalton? It's Chaba.
Chaba, okay, sweet. So
you can just call me Big Shot Pod.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
I was just saying, I'm feeling pretty comfortable going against the Suns. You know, earlier this season, they were made out to be these unbeatable monsters. I mean, people were talking about them like they were the Golden State Warriors. But, you know, I think the Pelicans really exposed the Suns, showing that, you know, without, you know, if you take Booker out and Chris Paul, you know, they're the only two that can really create their own shot reliably for the Suns. So I think that we should attack Booker and that leg, obviously not to injure him, but just, you know, to make him a liability if he is still injured. But yeah, I mean, if we keep shooting the way we've been shooting, defending, I think Reggie Bullock and Dorian, as long as they keep shooting around that like 40% mark, I think that will be good. I think Dorian should probably be on Chris Paul because he has length. And I know Dorian isn't as good at guarding, you know, smaller players, but Chris Paul, he's slower and, you know, he's not the typical point guard in today's day. So I think that Dorian can really keep up with him. And I think that we should put Reggie on Booker because he's better at guarding that type of player. And then, you know, our specialty is guarding the three, and that's the Suns' specialty, you know, offensively, is shooting threes and jumpers. So, you know, I think that we're going to really match up well with the Suns. So I'm feeling pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one of those things where, you know, like I said, the Mavs aren't going to be favored to win it, but it's not one of those things where you're going into it thinking, oh, well, you know, the Suns are going to run the Mavs off the court, especially after what we witnessed, you know, how New Orleans played against them. So, you know, the Mavs are capable of doing it. It just depends. We know Luka is going to do his thing. We know that, you know, with Jalen Brunson's newfound confidence, I think it's safe to say that he's probably going to do his thing too.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The thing is, it's the same thing that it is every year. What is Luka going to get from his supporting cast? You know, he got plenty of help in the first round against the Jazz. You know, what's he going to get in the second round? Are guys still going to, you know, hit shots? Is the team defense still going to, you know, be swarming the way it is? I mean, what's he going to get from these guys? That's what's going to determine if they have a legit shot of beating the Suns or not. Because, and, you know, one thing that's on my mind that I've been thinking of, and maybe it won't be a factor in this series, but, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith, they're just playing so many minutes. Like, at what point is that going to take a toll on them, or is it going to take a toll? You know, Dorian Finney-Smith played like 47 minutes in at least three or four games in this series, and I don't think he played any less than 44 in any of the games. So, and Reggie Bullock kind of the same way, and then Jason Kidd said in game six, you know, that he was quote-unquote sick as a dog and still played through it. So, you know, these guys are playing a ton of minutes. I know it's the playoffs, and, you know, that's kind of normal, especially for some of your main guys. But, you know, I'm kind of wondering at what point, like, is this going to eventually take a toll on them? And even if they did get past the second round, like, you still have the conference finals and potentially the finals. Like, at what point does it, you know, get to the point where it's like, okay, they're too tired and, you know, Luka's got to do it all and they start missing a bunch of shots and everything. So, what do you think? I mean, do you think these minutes for Dorian and Reggie and, you know, the rest of the guys, you think it's going to end up catching up to them, or you think they can play through it?
Well, Mark Stein, I think it was yesterday or the day before, he said he spoke to Dorian and he brought up, you know, all the minutes he's been playing and if it was affecting him. And he said that Dorian just scoffed and he was basically disgusted at the question and offended. You know, he said that he could keep going. So, you know, these guys are tough. Dorian, he's been playing, you know, I mean, we've relied a lot on Dorian throughout the years. So I think he's kind of used to the heavy load. The only one that I'm really worried about when it comes to minutes is Maxi Kleber. But, you know, I think, you know, our small ball lineup, I think we'll do well. DeAndre Ayton is obviously not Rudy Gobert, but I still think that we can expose them, you know, on the offensive side. You know, it's just going to be defensively. You know, that's really where we're going to hurt at is, you know, rim protection. But like I said, their specialty is threes and jumpers, and we're the best team in the NBA when it comes to defending the three. I mean, if you just watch, we completely just swarm that three-point line as soon as the ball, you know, goes beyond the arc to a player. So, you know, I'm feeling really confident.
I think it is going to go 6-7 games. I'm not just being a homer. I think that, you know, the Mavs are going to win. You know, this team just feels different. You know, it feels, you know, it just feels like everything is clicking. Everything is going right. And, you know, we have the best player in every series. So, you know, I'm feeling really confident. No one can stop Luka. So if anything, a guy like Mikal Bridges, he's the one who's going to tire out too. I'm feeling really good. And, you know, Jason Kidd, I don't know what he tells these guys at halftime, but I mean, they always seem to turn it around. So yeah, this team is just built different, and you know, I'm feeling really confident. I don't want to be overly confident, but you know, I am feeling really comfortable with this series. You know, it's not, if you would have told me that we had to play the Suns like 4 months ago, back in December or early January, I would have been like, damn, we're screwed. But this team is completely different. And, you know, we never played the Suns when we were this team. You know, we played them, you know, a long time ago, and we were a completely different team. And when we were struggling, and when we were all bitching and complaining on Kirk's green room after the games. But, you know, yeah, this team is really different. And, you know, I feel really confident, and I'm not too worried about the minutes, at least for our key defenders. You know, I think Luka probably might have to get out of the game a couple times, you know, to get a breather, because especially against the Jazz here, he did look a little gassed. But that's probably just because he was, you know, coming back from an injury and he had to sit out for a little bit. But yeah, I'm feeling really confident.
Well, and playing in Phoenix again, you know, just the altitude standpoint of it, I feel like it's going to be a little bit easier to play in Phoenix than it is in Utah. So I think that'll help Luka a little bit. And, you know, to the couple of points you made here with Jason Kidd, I really like how, you know, during the regular season, there were times where he just like refused to take a timeout. And it really annoyed the fan base. And it's just like, man, you can't take them with you. Why don't you use them? And, you know, he took some really good timeouts in this Utah series.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, like when things started to go south and you kind of felt like the Mavs were losing momentum, like it just seemed like he was calling timeouts at the perfect time. He was calming the guys down. They'd come back out after those timeouts and, you know, make the right play and get back on track. So he's done a very good job there. You know, another thing that's interesting going into this Phoenix series, because – I mean, I don't think there's much that the Mavs are going to be able to do with DeAndre Ayton except just hope he misses. I mean, you know, Maxey, you know, if they just put him on him, maybe he can make a few plays here and there defensively. But overall, I just think Ayton has been so good in the postseason compared to, you know, in the regular season. I don't know if there's anything they can do with him. But, you know, I'm very interested in seeing if the Mavs, you know, deploy that three-guard lineup of Luka, Dinwiddie and Brunson like they did last night in game 6. You know, when the Jazz went small, they started to make, you know, a little bit of a run. First the Mavs started to cut into that lead in the third quarter and they were coming back. And then, you know, the Jazz tried to counter with that small ball lineup to try and regain some momentum. And then Jason Kidd went to his small ball lineup with, you know, led by Luka, Dinwiddie and Brunson. And it was spectacular. And it got Dinwiddie going for the first time all series, too. So, you know, I'm interested in seeing if they do that a little bit more against the Suns and, you know, just see where it goes from there. Because, you know, you can let Ayton do his thing and he's going to get his numbers and all that. But, you know, if they can do that three-guard lineup and get more threes than the Suns do, you know, three points is better than 2 points. So, I'm not saying they just need to shoot threes the entire series, but, you know, if they can kind of limit the Suns and, you know, shoot a little bit more threes than they do like they did in that Utah series, they'll be good. But I appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining me. I'm going to get Davis up here, return guest. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. What you got for me today? All right, guys, we had some technical difficulties with our green room today. I did have another guest up, Davis, and he talked for a little bit, but, you know, some of the audio just wasn't, you know, able to be recovered. But here is the second half of that. Sorry for the inconvenience, but I kept as much of it as I could. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's overall, you know, if both teams are completely healthy and, you know, there's no injury issues with Booker and all that stuff, I mean, I do agree that it's kind of a, you know, it's one of the worst matchups for the Mavs, but especially, and somebody mentioned it in the chat earlier, you know, the Phoenix's depth is just crazy. Like their whole roster is just so talented top to bottom, and you know they didn't play very well in that first round series against the Pelicans. So you almost kind of wonder if there's going to be like some positive regression to the mean there with some of these guys like Jay Crowder, who only shot I think it was what 3 of 26 from three in that first round series. So that's something that kind of worries me. Because Jay Crowder, he already has a grudge against the Mavs, and you know has made that known on many occasions. So you got to wonder if he's going to shoot better. Guys like Cameron Payne off the bench. You got JaVale McGee, who always gives the Mavs fits with his athleticism and length. You know, there's a lot of guys that could come out and make a big difference in this series. So I don't know. This is one of those series where I know Jason Kidd wants to keep his rotations tight, you know, 7.5, 8. like what we say 7.5 because, like, you got seven guys and he might throw one guy in there just for a couple of minutes. But I think he's really going to have to try to expand that a little bit in this series just to have some more bodies and to where guys just aren't completely exhausted by the time we get halfway through it. So it'll be interesting for sure. Ayton, like I said, I don't think there's much you can do with him. He's really refined his game in a lot of different aspects over the last couple of years. He's super. He's just really good. Like, he can hit threes too if you let him. So that's going to be a problem. But you know, if the Mavs can hit some threes, if they can you know, utilize pick and roll and Luka's doing his thing and hitting some of those one-legged shots and can get some guys in the post. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways that the Mavs can combat some of the advantages that it would appear the Suns have, and I'm just really ready to get it started. But, Davis, anything else before we take off here?
Yeah, and to go with your expand the rotation, I think that's, like, only possible if Green becomes, like, playable on offense. I think he had, like, one solid offensive game against the Jazz in Game 3. And then every other game, he was pretty, like, I think Jason Kidd last game put him and Bertans in the last minute of the first quarter. And he quickly realized that he had to play, you know, if we wanted to win this game, we had to play Reggie and Finney Smith the entire game, basically, because they're, like, diametrically opposed to each other, Bertans and Green, and that Green is unplayable on offense, but really good on defense. And Bertan is absolutely, you know, horrible on defense, but can provide a lot of good things on offense. Like, we just need one of those dudes to step it up on, you know, on one part of the ball. Otherwise, I think it's a 7-man rotation, 8th at most, depending on if Green could shoot. I just don't think, like, with the way Green has been playing, if he, you know, it makes life too easy for, you know, the center when he can just kind of roam around the paint and not pay attention to Green. Like, Green has to make his shots.
I mean, if there was a way, like, I don't know if there's any Dragon Ball Z fans in this chat or, you know, or anybody listening, but the fusion dance, if you're familiar with that, if there was a way to let, you know, Davis Bertans and Josh Green do that, that would be ideal, because I have a lot more confidence in Bertans, you know, getting some shots to go down than I do Josh Green, yet I have a lot more confidence in Josh Green's defense, his versatility on that end of the court. So I kind of wish they could do that and you could get, you know, a little bit of both and you'd feel better about it. But I don't know, man. It's I don't know. I mean, we've seen it with Josh before. He's shown flashes. They're brief flashes, but we've seen flashes of what he can do. And I mean, his shot form and everything looks better this year than it has, you know, earlier in the year and even last season. I think it's just mainly a confidence thing with Josh. I don't think it's anything else other than confidence, because, You know, we saw it in that one game that he actually – I think he hit like three or four threes in that game against Utah. He wasn't hesitating. Like, he caught it, and he was immediately going into a shot, shooting it with confidence, and, you know, he ended up hitting some of them. But when he hesitates, even for a split second, you know, the chances are he's going to miss it. So, confidence is the biggest thing for Josh. If the Suns are going to play it the same way the Jazz did, where they're just going to leave him wide open and you know, leave DeAndre Ayton on him, you know, giving him a ton of space and all that, Josh's going to have to take advantage. Or, you know, Bertans, you know, he's going to have to show something on defense. One way or the other, you know, they're going to have to get a little bit something extra from some of the guys who don't normally contribute consistently. You know, they're going to have to get something. They're going to have to get a surprise from somebody else on the roster and most likely on the bench, you know, to pull out this upset against the Suns. But, look, we'll see how it goes. It's going to be a long series. Like I said, I'm just glad we have a couple of days to breathe. Thanks for joining me, Davis. I appreciate it. And, you know, we get to enjoy this weekend, and then we get to come back on Monday and do it all over again. So, thank goodness the Mavs finally got past the first round. It has been a long 11 years, guys. Like, I know we've had some good playoff moments. You know, the first ones that come to mind, you know, the Vince Carter Game 3 in 2014 against the Spurs when it put the Mavs up 2-1. That was such a breathtaking moment, but the Mavs ended up losing that series in 7. And then, you know, the last couple of years, Luka just going nuts against the Clippers, but, you know, he had the injury in the bubble the first time, and KP had his meniscus injury. And then last year, you know, they were up 3-2, and they couldn't get it done. So there's been some bright spots, but, man, does it feel good for the Mavs to finally get over that hump, and now they get to, you know, play the best team in the league with no pressure because they're the underdogs, and I like it that way. So, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming in and listening. Go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you do, you're automatically entered for a chance to win Mavs tickets when we do our ticket giveaways during the regular seasons. So you could do that now, and you're automatically entered for, you know, any future ticket giveaways we do, as long as your name pops up on those, you know, the reviews that you leave. So be sure to do that. Be sure to like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. We appreciate it, guys. We'll see you either Monday night or midday Tuesday to recap Game 1 of the Mavs and Suns. Appreciate it, y'all. Y'all have a good one.